Proverbs 25 is right after the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible. As you can tell, I shaved my beard this week, amen. I can feel the wind blowing, amen. I can feel it on my face, amen. Proverbs 25. I'm trying to go incognito since my picture's been plastered everywhere, probably. I usually do this in the springtime anyway, so. Proverbs 25, verse number 4. And we're going to read one verse together. Is it too warm in here? I feel warm right now. No? Is it warm? Okay. Proverbs 25 and verse number 4. Let's read one verse together, shall we? Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the final. I'm going to talk this morning about serving vessels or vessels that serve. And so let's pray, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for church. Lord, thank you for forgiveness and for mercy. Thank you for being such a wonderful God. The fact that you can use us, dear God, and want to use us in thy service. Lord, help us to realize this truth this morning, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hey, Tim, can you go over there and knock it down like 2 degrees, whatever it is right now? Thank you. Proverbs 25, verse number 4, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Maybe you never looked at yourself this way, but all of us, or each of us, are a vessel being used of God and can be used of God and have the potential to be used of God. This is like part two of the sermon that I did last week, if you were here, if you heard the sermon on the restaurant business and God's business. And I likened last week the service in a restaurant, how God's people work together to feed people. Well, God's people, the house of God, ought to, as a family, work together to feed manna to people who need it, heavenly manna, spiritual food. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about the area in the service of God being your vessel. You're not just here just to pass the time away for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. You're not here on this earth just to smell the roses and enjoy your time or to suffer heartache or to have ups and downs. God made you for a specific purpose, and God made you for a specific reason. And until you find that out, until you realize that, you will not realize the purpose for which you were created and the usefulness that you have available that you can use yourself for others. I say that because the vast majority of people don't realize why they're alive and why they're here. The vast majority of God's people don't realize what they're here for. And all of us are here for serving God. And some people think, you know, serving God is boring. If you think serving God is boring, you've never been to my house, amen? And God help you if you ever come to my house. But, you know, I've never had as much fun serving God any other time in my life. When I look back in my life, I look at the highlights and the best times I ever had. The best times I ever had in my life is serving God, amen? And doing what God wanted me to do and enjoying it and receiving the blessings. We like enjoying our lives either ignorantly of God's word or contrary to God's word, and thus suffering the consequences of enjoying the pleasures of sin, the Bible says, for a season. Because sin is pleasurable, but it's only for a season, the Bible says. Whereas the pleasures of God are eternal and they never run out. They're forever. So you can enjoy the pleasures of God, not just in heaven, but here on earth, if you allow yourself and you free yourself and you surrender to God and are willing to be used of God, you'll enjoy yourself. It's not that difficult. It's not that complicated. The complicated part is our ego and our pride, and that gets in the way. And, you know, we have our reputation, what people are going to think about us, and that inhibits us from serving God willingly, and that quenches the Spirit of God from us wanting to do what God wants us to do. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about you being the vessel for God that God has in his service and for you to serve God. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This is going to be a little maybe unique kind of sermon. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, after 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy, then 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Verse number 20. But in a great house, the house of God, or in a restaurant business or any house, but we're talking about God's application to the house of God and your service for God. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, in verse number 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 21 says, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So your job and my job is to realize we're a vessel. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your intelligence is. It doesn't matter to me what your makeup is. All of us are vessels to be used. Now, listen to me good. You're either being used of God or you're being used of Satan. And Satan's very clever because he'll tell you, you know, you just do whatever you want to do, and thereby you're not going to do what God wants you to do most times. Unless you love God, you're not going to do what it is that God wants you to do. And so you're either going to be used by the world or you're going to be used by God. The danger is this. We have a vessel, and you know what vessels are for? Carrying something. A vessel is a container. It carries liquids, carries goods. I don't care if it's a box. I don't care. A utensil is a vessel. It carries, a fork can carry food to your mouth, a spoon, cups, saucers, plates, glasses. They're all vessels being used in eating. Well, we as a family of God are supposed to be used as vessels to get people the man of God. The manna of heavenly God. And so, just like we feed people with utensils and vessels, God uses people to feed other people. Obviously, it's the Word of God. We know that. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But God uses the instrument. He uses, remember this phrase, human instrumentality to get godly truths from one person to another. You're not going to see a dream or a vision. I don't care what the 700 Club says or what those jokers on the idiot box say. You know, God's not going to talk to you in an audible voice, amen? If you hear God, if you hear something in an audible voice, you had too much pepperoni last night, and stop watching science fiction movies before you go to bed or something, amen? I'm just saying, God's going to speak to you through the Word of God. And God's going to use you, listen to me good, to carry a truth from the Word of God to another vessel. Just like you have a pitcher, you fill it up at the sink, and you fill up, let's say, water. You take it to the dinner table, and you fill up the glasses with water. So you have the source of the water being filled in a pitcher. You come to the table, and you take the same object, the same, let's call it truth, water in this case, and you then dispense it to the other vessels. That's exactly what people are supposed to do. We're supposed to go to the Word of God, the source of truth. God dispenses truth to us at salvation. We now have it all available. We find out what the truth is, and we are then, through life, going about trying to dispense the truth of God to other vessels. It's that simple. It's not more complicated than that. We get in the way. We decide to put the cap on our vessel. We decide to put a cork on our top so that God can't fill us. Thus, God cannot use us because there's nothing else to give. You cannot give, listen to me good, just yourself. You need to give God. It's not your opinion or my opinion that counts. It's not your opinion or my opinion that matters. You know what people need? They need the love of God. They don't need your knowledge or wisdom or what your opinion is or what you think about life. I mean, that may help in certain situations. I'm not discounting all of that. But they need to hear from God. They need to hear from a God that loves them, that made them, that created them, that knows them. There's nobody that knows you like God knows you. And so as much as I try to help people, my job is to get God to people. who knows everybody. And it's nothing more than me reconciling people back to their Creator. And that's what your job is as a vessel, taking the truth of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God to somebody else. When you don't do that, you're filling up your vessel with something else and giving people something else that you've been reading and watching that's most likely not right. And as the Bible says in James, sometimes this spring brings forth bitter water, sometimes sweet water, and it's confusing. The best thing to do is always drink at the fountain of God, amen? And just drink from the Word of God and get what God wants, and then you can give to everybody, dispense to everybody what God says, amen, instead of what our thinking is. Now, take your Bible, please, and turn to John, chapter number 15. So we all can be purged. And here's the danger, I think, it is in our thinking. How many times you've come to church, or before you came to church, you say, I can't go there, man, because, man, if they ever knew who I really was, man, they would never let me in. Well, let me tell you something. If you knew who the rest of us were, you'd never come here, amen. We're just nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, we're not more religious, we're not holier, we're not more godlier. You may have that perception, but we're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God, sinners that were one day on our way to hell, and the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ and the mercy of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ saved our soul. It's that simple. We're not going to go to heaven because we're Baptists or because we're good or because we help people. We're going to go to heaven because one day we realize how wretched and wicked we really were in God's eyes, and we ask God for mercy to save our souls. And that's who we all are. That's who we all are. John chapter 15, very interesting verse here. And I want to read verse number 3 here. John chapter 15 and verse number 3. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." I believe too many times we get the impression, well, I have to straighten up my life before I get to church. Or I have to straighten up my life. I got to stop doing this. I got to start doing this before I start doing something for God. And most people's impression is, I'm not qualified to do what God wants me to do. Or I'm not that nice of a person. I got these hang-ups. I got these problems. I got this past. These things are haunting me, and I got these things I can't deal with. I have an addiction, you know. I have a record, a criminal record. I have a conviction, you know. Pastor, you don't know my background, and you don't know everything about me. Well, here's what Jesus says. God can use everybody that's willing to be used, regardless of your past. If you can get that through your thick skull, this will change your life and your mind. For instance, it is a no-brainer that none of us are worthy to be saved. None of us are worthy to be a pastor or preach. None of us are worthy to sing his praises. But blessed be God, he allows vessels that were once ruined and once broken and once on their way to a destination of hell can be used now for the glory of God. If you can get past your self-deprecating pride, I want to call it maybe, look past that and allow God to use you. Here's what God says. This is how you clean your life, by the word of God. Not you doing it. Now, say, I have this sin, I can't stop it. That's all right. Be used of God anyway. And I'm going to show you. Because it won't be you that stops it, it'll be God that stops it. God. Here's what Jesus said in John 15, verse number 3. He said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. How does God clean the church or an individual? By the preaching of the word of God. Don't you take a shower? At least once a month? Huh? Once a week, maybe? Don't you take a bath? Why? Because you get dirty out in life. You pick up dirt. So once a day, I hope, or whatever you do, whenever you do, you take a shower. The reason to take a shower is to cleanse your body. Your soul needs a cleansing on a daily basis. You can't clean it. God made the soul. God cleanses the soul. Your job is to make yourself available so God can cleanse your soul. When you don't make yourself available for the cleansing, You're going to be rotten and filthy and wicked in the soul, not just your body. So it's very important for you. I don't care if you feel like reading the Bible or not. You ought to read it. I don't care if you think it's boring. And so-and-so begot so-and-so. So-and-so begot so-and-so. Boy, this is boring, man. You know, you go through the genealogies. You go through 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Yeah, this is boring. That's all right. You read it anyway. I heard the story. Some guy told his son they had a like a wicker basket, but like a, you know, vine basket that was a coal basket. It used to carry coal. And so he told his son, and, you know, when you get a reed basket or vines or something like that, you know, it goes through, except if you're carrying hard objects or solid objects. And this was used for, and it was all black because of the coal that this big old basket was used to carry coal with. So he told his son, he said, I want you to go grab down to the river and get me a basket of water. And the son looks at his father and says, excuse me? So you heard me. Go get me a basket of water. So the boy, being obedient to his dad, went down to the river, comes back, and like he didn't step more than 5 steps off, and all the water was gone out. He comes back to his dad. He says, Dad, there's no water. I said, I told you, go get me some water. So the boy went back to the river, filled up the basket. This time he started walking a lot faster. Got about maybe halfway, and all the water was gone. He came back to his dad, Dad, the water's leaking out of the basket. I can't bring you the water. He said, I told you, get me some water. So the boy goes back to the basket, goes back to the river the last time, fills up the basket, and he starts running back to his dad as fast as he can. As soon as he gets to his dad, all the water's gone from the basket. He said, Dad, I've tried 3 times, and there's no water. The basket won't hold any water. The dad said, yeah, but look how clean it is now. And all that black of that coal was washed away. A lot of times you and I get the thinking that when God gives us blessings or water for the soul, that it's for us. No, it's not. It's for somebody else. But what happens is it'll clean you out when God's using you to carry the truth of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. It'll clean you out like nothing. You know what? People are idiots. I'm sorry. They spend $200-$300 on a psychiatrist's couch who's a worse nut than they are. That's true. Yeah. Just look at their suicide rate and their divorce rate, and they're going to try to tell you what's wrong with your life. How about you getting an hour or two in the Word of God to straighten up your life and to clean you out? You know what? I've been saved for 35 and a half years. I'm 56 years old. I got news for you. I still don't understand everything in the Bible. And nobody ever will. God wrote the book. So it's not my job to understand everything. It's my job to read it and to obey what I do know and to obey what I do understand. And until I get to the point where God still keeps revealing more truth to me, my job is to read the Word of God, and guess what it does? It cleans out your soul. It's taking a good old shower in a King James Bible, amen? It is. And by the way, let me just say this. That's why if you use another version, you're taking a shower with dirty water. Yeah. And that's why people are dirty today on the inside. They just say, well, I'm reading this, and I don't care if it's an RSV or NASV or an NIV, MIC, KEY, whatever it is, you know. And you say, well, I'm reading this version, and I've been reading it, but I don't feel there's something. Yeah. You wash your clothes with dirty water, ladies? Huh? You wash your glasses and your dishes with dirty water? I don't think so. You get clean water. Well, guess what? Your soul needs clean water. And by you taking whatever you can that God's given you to transport it, it'll clean you out. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. I'm going to show you the truth this morning. If you've ever thought that you're not ready to serve God, that you're not qualified to serve God, I'm telling you, that's just a lie from Satan, ladies and gentlemen. Now, obviously, there are certain qualifications for pastor and leaders. I'm not saying that there aren't, but I'm just saying anybody can serve God in any in most capacities. You can sing, can't you? You can smile, can't you? Huh? You can be kind, can't you? You can be friendly, can't you? You can give the gospel to somebody, can't you? We are the ones that quench the Holy Spirit of God because we think we're not worthy. While people are dying and going to hell. Aren't you glad somebody opened their mouth and told you about Jesus Christ? Huh? All right. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. verse number 8. But ye shall receive what? Now, watch this, please. After that, the Holy Ghost is to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You are given the power of God, listen to me good, not to overcome your problems, even though it will. You are given the power of God to be a testimony and a witness to a lost and dying world. But as that power is coming through you, it'll give you power. It'll give you boldness. It'll give you wisdom that you never had before. But the power is not for you. The power is for to be put in a vessel to be given to other people. All right, I said this before. Let's do it again this morning. How many people have a garden hose? Or you have a garden hose? Probably right now, it's probably in the garage somewhere. Been sitting there about for 4 or 5 months or whatever. And if the garden hose sits in the garage for 2 years or 3 years, you know all the spiders and the maggots or the bugs that crawl through that garden hose? Well, you don't get a clothes hanger and stick it in there with cotton swabs trying to clean the inside of that garden hose out. No, you know what you do? You hook it up to the spigot, the outdoor spigot. You turn the water on. And you use the garden hose for that which for which it was created. To take the water from the source and to water either in the garden, the flowers, wash the cars, for whatever purpose you want it for. And guess what happens after you use that for a day or two or maybe a couple hours? It cleans up the inside of the garden hose. At the tail end, you can drink from that garden hose, and don't we do that. On a hot summer day, you don't think anything about it. That garden hose has been used for a week and a month now, and you just pick it up and you start drinking water out of it like it comes out of your sink, out of the faucet. Why? Because the garden hose has been cleaned. Well, you know what you need? You need to be hooked up to the power source, God Almighty. And you need not to clean yourself. I'm not worried about you fixing all the problems, all the things you've had in the past, and how you get over this hang-up. Let God deal with that. God will give you power. You'll look at it and say, wow, I don't have that problem anymore. Wow, I never thought about this, but, you know, I don't have that addiction no more. The reason we have AA and NA is because we don't have God. Anybody hear me? The reason you have all these government programs is because we don't have God. We have people addicted to different agencies and different programs and money. It's because we don't have God. If you had God, you had the Word of God, that's all you would need, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We're no different than you are. You know, if you've been coming now the last few weeks or last few months, you ought to look back 36 years ago where we were. You say, I look at myself sometimes, I say, man, glory to God. I never dreamed I'd be preaching today. Not because I was a qualified man, because my life was heading for a lot of places that wasn't right. And it wasn't John Cletus made some good decisions or smart decisions. John Cletus started reading the Bible. John Cletus started reading the Word of God. And so what happened? My desires changed and my goals changed and my dreams changed. God did that, not me. My Bible says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. The reason we can't love people the way we ought to love them because we're not reading the Word of God. You're coming up with your own concoction of what you think love is. The reason you can't forgive people because you don't realize how much Jesus has forgiven you. The reason you're not merciful to people and kind and patient with people because you don't realize how patient and merciful God has been to us. My Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know why our kids are messed up today? They're not reading the Bible. Bible reading is going out of the home today. Bible reading is going out of school. It's going out of churches even today. But I'll tell you, you want to clean your way? You're not going to be able to sit down and try to figure out with a paper how to fix all your problems. You just start reading the Word of God, man. That's all you got to do. I mean, you watch that idiot box for an hour or two a day. You're online for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. God doesn't ask much for you to spend some time in the Word of God and read it and wash your soul. My Bible says in Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There is pure living water available for every believer. You just have to hook up your garden hose to it. And you know, it's not because you have a high IQ. It's not because you were educated somewhere at a high, an expensive school somewhere. It's because all you did was obey God and hooked up your garden hose to the water source, God Almighty. And God will give you power, like we said in Acts 1:8. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts, sprinkled from an evil conscience. Thus, three non-tangible aspects of the human being: faith, heart, and conscience. And our bodies, not the physical body, the soul body, washed with pure water." That's where, like when I grew up, you know, we were always taught about holy water, you know. The only holy water is from God Almighty. If you think we get holy water for this baptistry, you need help. Because that comes from the Hudson River or Troy tap water with fluoride. And if you think that's holy water, you got a problem. And I don't care how much you boil it, that ain't going to be holy water. But that's what I believed growing up. You know, lighting my candles, doing what my priest told me to do. We believed in holy water. And you sprinkle it on somebody, so, oh, now you're holy. A seventh grader wouldn't even believe that. But you have adults believing that. Pure water comes from God Almighty. All right, take your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to have a Bible study a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. Watch this. See, you need pure water for your soul, not for your physical body. 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, I like to read a lot of this, but for sake of time, verse number 44. It is sown a natural body. That's your physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. You're going to get a resurrected body. Physical resurrected body. There is a, watch this, a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. You have a body inside of your body. See, I'm talking to you right now. All I look is the flesh on the outside, the temple. That's all I see. But it's the soul that makes the body move. It's the soul inside of a person that's listening and watching. And a lot of times we are only, because we're earthly beings, we just look at people from a physical body to physical body. God looks past the appearance of a person and goes to the soul. Souls get saved, bodies don't. Bodies rot in the ground. Bodies get eaten up and are corrupt, and they get eaten up by worms. Souls live forever. So the soul that is inside your body is going to leave your body one day and go somewhere. Your soul is either going to go with Jesus Christ to heaven when you die, or it's either going to go to a place called hell when you die. So I'm talking to you this morning from soul to soul. Where are you going to go when you die? How is your soul this morning? So there is a spiritual body. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And the Spirit of God rests inside your soul, which rests inside your physical body. It's like when you have the funeral, you know. When they have my funeral, I'll be laying in a casket there, and they're going to say, well, that's the shell. The nut went home, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, your body, your physical body, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know why? Because you are a vessel supposed to be used for God's service to get the word of God and the truth of God to people. If you're not doing that, then what are you here for? You know what you're going to do? When you get a dirty glass out of the cupboard there, you know what you do? You put it away or back in the dishwasher and you get a clean one. Is that right? So, oh, man, that didn't come out good. That didn't clean good. You put it back in the dishwasher, you put it in the sink, and you get another clean one. Well, guess what? God's the same thing. If you don't want to be used of God, guess what? I got news for you. God will use somebody. Maybe not up to your snuff, maybe not up to your standards. I'm telling you, God will use somebody who's willing to be used of God. Maybe never gone to a Bible college. Maybe just got saved. Maybe doesn't know anything about the Bible. But they're willing to be used of God, and they want to be used. God will clean that person up before he cleans up somebody who's been pastoring or being a deacon for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You see, there's something inside your physical body, which is your soul, which ye have not of God. I'm sorry. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God wants you to just surrender to God and be willing to be used of God. And don't worry what people say, amen. Don't worry what the naysayers say. Don't worry what the criticizers. We said last week, you know, it's the people that are served all the time that complain all the time. Did you ever notice that? The people who sit at the table in a restaurant, they criticize the food. They complain about the service. How cold is this? Is not right. This is not what I ordered. This is too hot. This is too cold. I didn't ask for this. This is dirty. The people who do the serving are doing the work. Well, that's part of the plan, I guess, and that's part of life. You got to be willing to allow yourself to be criticized when you serve other people. Because people who are being served, listen to me good, are selfish people, as we all were at one time. The only reason you got saved because you didn't want to die and go to hell, and that's a selfish reason. And that's a good selfish reason to get saved. And God uses that as a carrot stick for you to get saved because he knows how selfish we really are. We don't want to die and go to hell. And so God puts a carrot stick out there. You're on your way to hell, but Jesus will save your soul if you ask him to. And so we got saved for purely selfish reasons, ladies and gentlemen. But the time ought to come where we ought to grow up and mature and serve other people. The time ought to come that we ought to learn and grow and say, you know what? It's time for me to serve other people instead of other people serving me. And my purpose for God making me is to be used as a vessel, to be used of God to serve other people. It's not complicated. Mark 16, perfect example here. Mark 16. Now, here are these disciples. They've been with Jesus for 3.5 years, man. Preaching with them, teaching with them, ministering with them, soul winning with them. Miracles after miracles, man. Feeding the 5,000. I mean, it's just nonstop. They saw him walking on water. Peter was walking on the water, man. It was just nonstop. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Verse number 9, Mark chapter 16. So right after the resurrection, right after the crucifixion, Jesus now crucified. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And when she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believe not. Now, these are handpicked disciples, apostles, that Jesus handpicked himself to minister with him and follow him. And after being with him for 3.5 years, they didn't believe. Verse number 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. Don't forget, Judas committed suicide. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. That means he chewed them out, gave them a good tongue lashing. The 11 sitting there. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Watch this. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He told them he's going to go to the cross. He told them he was going to die. He told them he's going to be risen again. And the end result was the same that you and I would have done. They didn't believe. You would have think if Moses raised that rod right before the Red Sea, and that Red Sea split open, and you had 3, 5, 7 million Jews walking across the Red Sea on dry ground, you would think that would be indelibly printed in their brain that they would never forget that. But they weren't more than a few days in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They saw the power of God. They saw the miracles of God, just like you have. And they wanted to go back to the world. And you know what Jesus says to these knuckleheads? Look what he says in verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if anybody was unqualified to do that, it would be these 11 knuckleheads right here. He didn't say get right with God. He didn't say you got to do A, B, and C. Make sure you do this list here before you're qualified. He said right now, he says, go out and tell everybody the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you read the book of Acts. And you read the historical books of what the 11 disciples went all across the known world at that time. And the gospel went everywhere. Backslidden, hard-hearted believers that didn't believe what was presented to them. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. You say, well, Pastor, my heart's too hard. It's okay, go so on. He said, well, you don't understand. I got some bitterness. That's all right. Read the Bible anyway. He said, yeah, but you don't understand what's happening. That's okay. You do what God commands you to do, and God himself will clean you up. Amen. And God will give you power that you never thought possible. He'll give you boldness and courage that you never thought possible. But if you try doing it on your own, the arm of flesh is weak. You ain't going to get by. You need God, ladies and gentlemen. You need God. So whether you have a stone, you're a stone vessel or a wood vessel, a vessel of pottery, maybe you're made of bamboo or grass or vines or reeds, you're a basket, or you're a barrel or pot or a pan or a cup or a plate or a saucer or glass, you're a vessel to be used of God. And God uses each vessel for his purposes, not yours. And you ought to realize that God made you as unique as you are for a specific purpose and for a specific reason, that God can't use somebody else just like he can use you. But he will use somebody else that is willing to be used. I've always said for the last 27 years, somebody else was supposed to surrender to God, the pastor of a church up here, but nobody came, so God's left with me, amen? Hey, I wonder what God could do with you if you just surrendered to do what God wanted you to do. And look past your faults and look past your failures and look past everything that everybody criticizes you in the past and just admit, you know, I messed up. I did a bad thing. I really messed up my life. But if God's willing to use me, God, please use me. That's not that difficult, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody can be used. Everybody can be used. You can be used this morning. How is your life being used in the service of the King this morning? Where is your vessel being used? Who are you serving? What are you served? You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, we had our M16. I'd love to give away an M16, I really would. Just telling you my heart's desire. But we had M16 automatic. And so, and I shot expert a couple times. But let's say someone can shoot expert and is the best shot. I believe it's still today. The record for the Marine Corps for shooting the M16 is held by a woman, by the way. Yeah, that's deflating to an ego, isn't it? Yeah. So, let's say somebody is an expert with their M16 rifle. And they are their best shot in the history of the Marine Corps. But somebody is, say, a sharpshooter, and they're a couple notches down from being an expert. But the person with the M16 who is an expert doesn't want to take it into the field to get it dirty. And they keep it home. And they put it up on a wall, or they clean it every day. And they memorize the parts of every single part of the M16. They know how to take it apart. They know how to break it apart. We used to do it blindfolded, to be honest with you. We could take the gun apart and put it together blindfolded. And so they knew it, all the parts of the M16, and they could take it apart and put it back together. I mean, they knew every part in detail. They cleaned it. But it was never used in the field. But let's say some sharpshooter wasn't the best Marine. Maybe didn't take care of his weapon the way he ought to have taken care of it. But he was willing to go on the front line. Who do you think is going to win the war or help win the battle? The person who's not as good as the expert, but is willing to take that M16 on the front lines and use it against the enemy. You don't have to be the best. You just have to be willing to be used. You don't have to know everything in the service of God. You just have to be in the right place, being used of God, and just fire away from the Word of God. That's what you have to do. It's not that complicated. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God can use me, amen. And I'm glad God's used me. I want God to use you too in the service. Be a vessel being used in God's service. Let's all pray. Let's all stand, shall we?